Welcome to EncLive On Air. I'm your host today, Caroline Seymour. EncLive On Air is a podcast from EncLive, which provides oncology professionals with the resources and information they need to provide the best patient care. In both digital and print formats, EncLive covers every angle of oncology practice, from new technology to treatment advances to important regulatory decisions. In today's episode, sponsored by Secura Bio, we had the pleasure of speaking with Barbara Pro, MD, a clinician, researcher, and professor of medicine in the Division of Hematology and Oncology at Columbia University Vaglios College of Physicians and Surgeons, and the clinical director of the lymphoma program at the Herbert Irving Comprehensive Cancer Center at New York Presbyterian Columbia University Irving Medical Center. Pro highlighted results presented at the 2021 ASH Annual Meeting and Exposition from a trial assessing duvelisib for patients with relapsed refractory peripheral T-cell lymphoma. In March 2022, the National Comprehensive Cancer Network updated its clinical practice guidelines in oncology to include duvelisib as a Category 2A designated option for second-line and later treatment in relapsed refractory peripheral T-cell lymphoma. The Phase 2 PRIMO trial is currently assessing dose optimization and dose expansion of duvelisib in this patient population. Investigators presented an updated analysis from the trial confirming the activity of duvelisib in December 2021. In our exclusive interview, Dr. Pro outlined the current role of duvelisib in peripheral T-cell lymphoma, reviewed some key adverse effects associated with the agent, and walked us through other important updates in peripheral T-cell lymphoma presented at ASH.
It's important to recognize that patients with relapsed refractory peripheral T-cell lymphoma have a very poor prognosis, with an overall survival that is less than 6 months. So a number of agents are now FDA approved for this disease, but overall the response rate has been quite modest. An early phase one study exploring the use of duvelisib in different types of hematologic malignancy did show a significant activity in peripheral T-cell lymphoma. So that really led to the design of the PRIMO study, which is a single-arm phase two multi-center study looking again at confirming the activity of this agent in this setting. And at ASH last year, Dr. Jonathan Brammer presented an updated analysis of the expansion phase. This is a very important part of the study where patients receive actually higher dose of duvelisib for two cycles. And then if patients have stable disease or achieve an objective response, they actually receive a lower dose. And the way this was designed is to try to improve efficacy with a higher dose and also make sure that patients achieve responses very quickly and then try to mitigate toxicity with a lower dose while maintaining the efficacy of the agent. And this updated analysis actually continues to confirm the activity of this agent. As you know, this is a PI3 kinase delta gamma inhibitor. So targeting this pathway could be a very important strategy in this disease. So the study confirms, as I said, the activity with an overall response rate of 50% and about one third of the patient achieving a complete remission. I think additionally, we should also mention that the responses were seen across the most common histologic subtypes. So even in patients with peripheral T-cell lymphoma, not otherwise specified, which actually they usually have less sensitivity to novel drugs. So some of the responses are durable, and also some patients are able to proceed with stem cell transplantation for consolidation. So very promising activity. I think obviously the next step is how can we try to move this agent very quickly to the frontline therapy of this disease. And I think there is a very important study, which is the Alliance study, that is now open in many institutions and is actually going to, I think, address many issues and answer many questions, because it's a randomized study with three arms, where the standard arm will be with patients receiving CHOP or CHOP with the addition of etoposide, so CHOEP. And then there will be two additional arms, which are the experimental arms. One which will be using oral azacitidine, which is an hypomethylating agent, and one will be using duvelisib. So, as I said, this is for patients who have a CD30 expression less than 10%. So, quote-unquote, CD30 negative diseases. This is an exciting study and the one that we really should be accruing very quickly. And as I said, hopefully will address the unmet need of improving outcomes in patients with these diseases.
So then we have the phase 2 data from PRIMO. We have the Alliance trial pending. In the interim, how would you define the current role of duvelisib in practice?
So unfortunately, duvelisib has not been approved as of yet for T-cell lymphoma, but is commercially available because it is approved for patients with relapse, chronic lymphocytic leukemia and follicular lymphoma. So some of us have been able to get it approved by submitting, as you know, to the payers, but, sometimes, it's not easy to get it approved. Obviously, the fact that now it's listed in the NCCN guidelines can make things a little bit easier for us.
So then returning to ASH overall, are there any other data sets in peripheral T-cell lymphoma that caught your eye?
Yeah, I think very importantly, I think there was at ASH last year an updated analysis of the Echelon 2 study. As you know, the Echelon 2 study has been the first study to really show an improvement in both progression-free survival, but even more importantly, overall survival with the addition of brentuximab vedotin to CHP when compared with patients treated with the standard of care, which has been historically the CHOP regimen. And I think with now a longer follow-up, a five-year follow-up, the analysis continues to show an improvement in both progression-free survival and overall survival in patients with systemic anaplastic large cell lymphoma. But the longer follow-up is also showing us that there is more work to be done in patients with other histology, particularly at peripheral T-cell lymphoma, not otherwise specified, and angioimmunoblastic T-cell lymphoma. So in these subtypes, as I mentioned, hopefully the Alliance study will show that perhaps using more novel agent will improve the outcome of these diseases. There was also another important study that I think, again, it's premature because the follow-up was very short, but the study presented by Dr. Alex Herrera is actually looking at the addition of etoposide to CHP plus brentuximab vedotin, so using CHEP plus brentuximab vedotin. And it's a very important study because it has two phases, the induction phase where patients receive CHEP and brentuximab vedotin, then patient who achieve a response will undergo stem cell transplantation, obviously an autologous stem cell transplantation, and then there is a consolidation phase where patients receive brentuximab vedotin as consolidation. And so far, the initial analysis shows very significant activity in both patients with anaplastic large cell lymphoma histology and also non-anaplastic large cell lymphoma histologies. But as I mentioned, the follow-up is still very short, but promising activity.
Returning to duvelisib for a moment, you mentioned how data from PRIMO show that it's both safe and effective. In terms of safety, what are some of the key side effects to be aware of for providers?
this is a very important question. I think, the toxicity profile is very similar to prior studies. But we should be aware of the toxicity that is associated with this class of agents. And mainly what we have seen is skin toxicity, particularly skin rash. And we should be aware of also other important toxicity like GI toxicity, mainly colitis, and pulmonary toxicity with cases of pneumonitis being described. There is also something that also we have observed in our patients treated on the PRIMO trial. And again, this is an expected toxicity with this class of drugs. Transaminitis is a very common toxicity observed with duvelisib, and one that we should try to pay attention to, because we need to stop the treatment or decrease the dose according to the guidelines.
Are there any prophylactic or interventional strategies that you've used that anecdotally you found very helpful?
Yeah, I think very importantly is that patients should receive prophylaxis for PJP and also prophylaxis for other viral infection.
And then returning to efficacy for a moment, I thought I heard you say that in the PRIMO trial, approximately a third of patients experience complete responses. Is there any insight into who exactly those patients are?
Yeah, I think this is going to be an analysis that will be, performed. I think we need to understand why some patients respond so well to this agent and others don't. So I think this is going to be key, to really have a better understanding about the mechanism of sensitivity and the resistance to be able to really design better studies in the future. The Alliance study will be part of this study, so we are very excited about opening the study soon at Columbia. As I said, this has been a major effort and trying to design this study, so many institutions are going to be participating. PI is Dr. Mehta Shah from WashU. So we are very excited about this study because it will not only, show how we can incorporate these new agents in the frontline setting, but also has important correlatives that will be looking at a minimal residual disease in patients with newly diagnosed peripheral T-cell lymphoma, and how that can really affect outcomes, and also looking at the role of PET scan. So very important correlative, and also looking at the different response in different subtypes and see if we can get a signal there and be able to reach future studies for a particular type of T-cell lymphomas.
That's all we have for today. Thank you for listening to this episode of OncLive On Air, sponsored by Sakura Bio. Check back on Mondays and Thursdays for exclusive interviews with leading experts in the oncology field. For more updates in oncology, be sure to visit www.onclive.com and sign up for our e-newsletters. OncLive is also on social media. On Twitter, follow us at OncLive and OncLiveSOSS. On Facebook, like us at OncLive and OncLive State of the Science Summit, and follow our OncLive page on LinkedIn. If you like today's episode of OncLive On Air, please consider subscribing to our podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and many of your other favorite podcast platforms so you get a notification every time a new episode is posted. While you are there, please take a moment to rate us. Thanks again for listening to OncLive On Air.